thing.
Get your damn hands off my wife, mister. Hello there. How you doing?
I've been better. How are you?
Come on.
I'm halfway through my visa.
Fantastic. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Thursday. Don't forget tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com going to be here. I believe Aaron Duran might be stopping in as well. That's kind of the word on the street, the word on the people. All right, just a moment. We'll welcome Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson radio program. Let's see. This is Benjamin in the mighty Southeast. What's up, dude?
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all, sir. Thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a suggestion for you and just a brief story to go with it. I went on a date with a girl a couple weeks ago, and we started talking about all the things we had in common. And we got on the movies, and we got on the Fight Club, and how much we both really loved that. And she recommended I read some of his other books. A guy by the name, I believe it's pronounced Chuck Palahniuk.
Palahniuk, I think.
Palahniuk. Maybe so.
I don't really know. I just sort of say that, nobody laughs at me, so I figure it's right.
That may be it. I'm very uninformed about this.
Oh, what book of his did you read? He's one of my favorite authors.
I went ahead and I went home, and that night I got on Amazon and I ordered a copy of Choke. And I just finished reading, and it says on the back here, he lives in, guess where?
Portland, Oregon, yeah. Yeah. In fact, a friend of mine, Joni, actually, showed me one time where the Paper Street house was, the house that, in Fight Club, where Jack and Tyler live, is based on an actual house in St. John's, and she showed me the house that it's based on. Yeah.
Oh, that would so be my mecca. I would go out there and lay.
You actually can't get it. You can't get anywhere near. It's like there's a huge city fence around it now because I think it's on like a toxic waste site, and I think it gave everybody cancer, and so like you can't get within a block of it anymore. But yeah.
Oh man.
What did you think of Choke?
It was pretty good. You know, I don't know if anything would ever reach the pinnacle of Fight Club. That's probably the single most culturally significant movie. Ever made, in my opinion.
I really, really like Diary. You should read that one, too.
Diary. I'm writing it down. Diary.
I've only read three. It's Rick Emerson's book club. I've only read three here. Three, rather, of Palahniuk's books. And I didn't start... See, and everybody... I kind of did it differently, because everybody kind of starts with Fight Club, understandably so, and then they branch out, because that's the one that he's sort of known for. That's kind of his free bird. But I started with Lullaby, because Sarah gave it to me.
Yeah, I had Lullaby.
I liked Lullaby a lot.
Survivor was my favorite one.
See, which I haven't read.
Oh, Survivor's really good. Survivor and Diary are my two favorites.
Lullaby was really great to me, because it reminded me so much of Douglas Copeland. In fact, if you had given me the taste test, if you had pulled the covers off and not told me who wrote it, if you had given me the manuscript and said, read Lullaby, I'm not going to tell you who wrote it, I would have bet my life. I would have bet everything I own that it was a Copeland book because it seems so much, which is not
a
knock.
It was like a little too off though to be Copeland. Like Copeland's a little more direct than Chuck Palahniuk is.
I suppose. And then I read Fight Club, which was good. It was a good book. It was not as good as I think it was to a lot of people because I, having seen the movie and knowing all about it, I didn't get that. It wasn't a new experience to me. It's sort of like hearing Jimi Hendrix now, and you can't really see how revolutionary it is because you've kind of grown up with it. I know so many guys who are so into Palahniuk that it wasn't a fresh experience for me, but still very good. Choke, frankly, I didn't care for. I was not a big fan of Choke because I think that Palahniuk, and it's not like I know how to write, but I think from what I've read, and I've read some of his short stories, too, and I think Palahniuk falls back on sort of gross-out techniques sometimes. I think occasionally he falls back on just trying to be hideous by describing craft that you really don't want to hear described.
I think that's part of what makes him really great is that he's kind of the king of the anti-hero. He takes someone that you wouldn't root for, and by the end of the book or by the end of the movie, you know, you want to see Edward Norton beat the crap out of Brad Pitt and blow up a bunch of buildings, and that's... I know that's the same reason, perhaps, like my dad and I wouldn't agree. He's more of the Clint Eastwood, John Wayne type of give me a good guy in a white hat.
Right.
Like the guy who's, you know, kind of like me. I'm not evil, but I'm not perfect.
No, his Palahniuk's books have a good moral ambiguity to them. I will say that. Yes,
that is perfect. So
absolutely.
Before Scotty J leaves, I would like to see him set up that interview and have Chuck Palahniuk on your show.
Oh, there you go, Scotty J. The gauntlet. Are you throwing down the gauntlet, sir?
I am throwing down the gauntlet, sir.
All right, hold on. The gauntlet has... Wait, hold on. Let me find a gauntlet sound here.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and
there
homosexuals.
You go. All right, sir. The gauntlet's been thrown down. Scotty J., that's your mission, should you choose to accept it. All right, thank you, Benjamin. You keep looking. You spread the word, brother.
Hell yeah.
All right, there you go.
Hell yeah!
All right, there you go. Choke, not a bad book. Choke had a really... And we'll welcome Rick Emerson's favorite, Jim Roop, here from Los Angeles, into like 30 seconds. But Choke had a really interesting kind of premise, which he then got away from, and he got into some stuff I didn't really care about. Choke had an interesting premise, which is very similar to Fight Club, where it's a guy who spends a lot of time at Sex Addicts Anonymous, like 12 steppers for sex, you know, if you have a compulsive sex, whatever. Which is interesting, not because it's titillating or salacious, just because it's interesting, you know? And he's, you know, the people who go to Sex Addicts Anonymous or whatever, they have Sexaholics Anonymous. And that's really interesting. And then it sort of deviates to stuff I didn't care about. But I'd like to read, what was the one with the playing course? Is it Survivor?
That is Survivor, yeah.
You see, you raved about that. So
I
like to
really,
read that.
Really like that book a lot.
Yeah. Fight Club certainly had its moments. I like Lullaby because it did have a weird, whimsical sort of weird dark humor to it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. A god among men, towering over everything he surveys. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
I am well. Good afternoon.
How are you? How's life in SoCal, brother?
Hot, man.
All right, then.
So, here's the thing. We booked you to talk about, what is it? The fire. The fire, which, first of all, we should ask about, because I actually have a friend of mine who lives not too far from where that wildfire is taking place. And, I mean, it's...
50% contained, they got under control.
I mean, it's... I don't know how much they pay firefighters down there, but it's not enough.
I hear you.
Whatever it is, they ought to be tripling that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just... I mean, it's... The whole thing is just... The whole thing is weird. My question to you is, have you heard anything... Sarah said that I want to know if you knew anything about the Cruise Baby, because, Sarah, you said that it was Vanity Fair... Mm-hmm. That was going to be doing this? Was going to be publishing the whatever?
So, yeah, so the rumor mill goes.
So do you have any knowledge about that? Have you heard anything else about Tom Cruise and Katie and the baby and the whatever?
Only what I told you yesterday after I talked with Leah Remini at the...
Oh, that's right. That's right that you talked with Leah Remini. And so, that's right, was she who said... It looks like a mixture...
It looks like an equal mixture of the two of them.
It looks like a mixture of the two parents. I would also like to share with you this. I would also like to share with you that the phrase, skin bun in the hair... Skin bun in the hair really did become the phrase of the day yesterday.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. And I mean that in the best of ways. I mean that in the best of ways. It really
did not show up on a rap record.
No, it became a thing that we did actually. It was a pinch phrase that we kind of went to all day long. So
I'm just here to help.
That's okay. Well, let's talk about these guys, these Marines that you're covering right now. And tell me, what is the background of this? How did these guys...
Well, back in April, and it was Iraqi citizens who reported this to the military. They claimed that seven Marines and a sailor, a Navy corpsman, kidnapped, bound, and dragged from his home this guy, this 52-year-old Iraqi man. Then they threw him in a hole on the side of the road and shot him. And I guess... Because I've not heard any of it, but I understand there were statements made by all the soldiers, and I don't know what the contexts are, but the defense attorneys are saying they're very inflammatory, but they're inflammatory taken out of context, and we don't want these statements released until we mount our defense. And the defense is saying that these soldiers caught this man planting or attempting to plant an explosive device. Now, what prosecutors are also saying... they are told, is that these soldiers then gathered up shell casings after they shot this guy,
right,
planted them around his body, and they took an AK-47, wiped prints clean, and put it on the body to paint this man as an insurgent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's apparently eight guys conspired to get together to kidnap this one guy for whatever reason.
And that was going to be my question, as to what... It's not like they were wandering through and they were bored. I mean, to what end would they have done this? Because every story like this, because the Iraq thing is so divisive and it's so polarizing, there's really sort of extremism on both sides here in America, by which I mean that the right wants to sort of excuse a lot of things and the left wants to make everything into another melee.
And these guys, these guys don't look like out of control, you know, wackos from... a few good men.
Right.
You know, I mean, they look like, you know, your regular old, Marine guys are just following orders kind of thing.
Right.
So who knows? And also, the defense is saying, look, we don't know the credibility of these Iraqi citizens who reported this incident. We don't know. We need to find out more information about this before we start slapping things on people. Now, what is a good sign, I guess, is that to expedite, I guess, a general court-martial, the prosecution saying they're not going to seek the death penalty because the charges, if found guilty, could range from dishonorable discharge to the death penalty if they're found guilty of these crimes for which they're charged.
Yeah.
So it's a very strange thing, and it's a very sad thing that has to happen. And you gotta want to hear the story, because how did these eight guys decide this one guy needed to be had the crap kicked out of him?
Yeah, seriously. Oh. It becomes one of those things that you know, no matter how it turns out,
it's gonna look bad for them. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's gonna be used by some. I mean, it's gonna be some faction, some group, some advocacy, whatever, some protest group on either side that's gonna end up using this and using it to, and they're gonna extrapolate out from this to represent everything that's going on over there.
Now, I'm not trying to excuse these guys, but you got to qualify stuff like this, because I've talked to several Schultz soldiers who have come back from Iraq after just one time, maybe some of them even two or three times, and man, they don't know where their next attack is coming from. It's not like the good old days of one guy, one army on one side, the other army on the other. These guys are driving by on bicycles and they're exploding. You got suicide bombers, you have roadside bombs, you have car bombs, backpack bombs.
Well, they
never know. And so everything they see is suspicious.
Well,
and it drives them nuts. It literally drives them nuts.
And just however weird the rules of engagement may have been before, they're undoubtedly 50 times as weird now.
Yeah.
So.
And it's which is amazing to me that in a situation like that, when it is really, literally anything could blow up around you at any time.
Yeah.
It's amazing that there are rules.
You
know, let's just clean out the place and then start fresh.
That's what I'm saying, man. You just got to nuke that whole place from orbit and start over again. That's what I keep saying.
Give all the good guys a chance to get out.
No, you give everybody like a week's notice. And as Sam Kinison once said, you send them all a U-Haul. You send them a U-Haul and a truck, and you say, look, we're going to be back in a week, and this whole place is going to be a sheet of glass.
Yeah.
So, all right, well.
Yeah, and but Sam Kinison always had great observations.
Dude, that man was able to boil it down to the essence.
Yeah, my favorite one was he was doing a routine about, the starving children in Ethiopia.
Seriously.
And he was saying, they're over there showing these kids with these distended stomachs and these gaunt faces and the flies all over them. And he said, gee, you think the film crew would have given that kid a sandwich?
You're only 5 feet away.
Somebody give that kid a sandwich.
Jesus.
You know that film crew's getting catering.
Just hold it right off camera. Make him reach for it.
Sam Kinison's great. You have a good take on this Iraq situation.
I wish I knew what Sam was thinking now, sir. All right. My friend Jim Roop and fellow Sam Kinison enthusiast, we will talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, my friend. There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Ladies and... Oh, wait. What is it? What did we do on the city desk here? Now, should we do rock star stuff here? We should talk rock star a little bit.
It's almost time for break.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So let's break. Here's the thing. We'll come back after this. We'll talk Rockstar. We'll do more Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We'll get some of your emails. Don't forget, like us coming up at 3:06 today. Donna Mike at 7, etc. You stay right there. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Rick Emerson radio program. You may want to tell Scotty that I spent thousands of dollars in a radio program. I now work at TriMet. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733-2970. Go back to the city desk with Tim Riley and the Ministry of Truth in just a moment. 503-733-2970. Rick, I'm watching KGW News last night and this morning. They had a story covering the supernova party at Dante's. They had Clyde's comments in the story, although they muted out the balls. But where the props came in is when Dave Selesky... Who's that? Is Dave Selesky an anchor person? Anyone?
That sounds kind of familiar.
I don't watch local television news.
Well, some guy named Dave Selesky made the comment, quote, Rick Emerson and Clyde Lewis have their radio show and they are in love with Storm. Really? Is that the actual quote? Because that is just creepy and confusing. He says, like it or not, you are becoming the mainstream. Yes. Yes. We're the standard by which... We're
right on top of that.
That's totally it. Yeah, everybody judges everybody over the yardstick of this show. Am I the only one who caught Gilby looking extremely uncomfortable when Storm sat on Tommy's lap and leaned into Gilby?
Remember when that dwarfy chick humped his leg and he freaked? I think he has some sort of obsessive compulsive disorder with people touching him. He doesn't want his hair to fall off.
I still think he's gay.
I don't think he is. I think he's got...
No, I think he's a bear.
Why would you possibly say that?
Because I can just tell...
Why would you possibly put the image of him and Richard Hatch sort of soaping each other in my head, which is what that phrase does?
I'm not operating by stereotypes, but I'm saying I have met very masculine gay men who act a lot
he
like...
He would not have that hair.
No, you don't know that.
Feathering or no? Okay.
I mean, the fact is he does take time to do his hair every day.
If I do, you mean staple. If I do, you mean adjust in the mirror. All right. I think he's just easily intimidated by Storm,
which is why
he likes Delana. Somebody told me that he had been married for quite a long time, but I'm unclear about that because it does raise the issue of who would marry Gilby Clark. Maybe he's an extreme germaphobe. Also, did Tommy Lee look like he was going to cry from the fans booing him and or cutting Ryan? He looked very upset because Tommy Lee's a bad boy, but he's got a heart of gold. Let's see. We'll get these calls here. Yes, I know. So is Elton John. Ha ha. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Kristen from accounting, who joins us now on the radio program. Kristen, how are you, sister?
Well, hello.
How's jury duty?
Done.
You're done. Did you hang the bastard?
No, they didn't select me. Once again, I'm rejected by.
So the voir dire process or whatever the hell that you were booted.
Voir dire.
What is it? Is it just because you just like scratch yourself a lot and sort of hack and just. Bring him in.
I don't know what it was. I thought I was very, I don't know.
You're too stable.
Apparently so.
Too well-grounded.
Considering who they did choose.
All right. Was it an exciting case? You can tell us now.
It actually, it was kind of cool because it was a domestic violence case, but it was a woman.
Beating up a man?
They didn't give the details, so I don't know what the actual.
That is exciting.
Violence, physical, what it was.
Yes.
But it was a woman against her husband.
Well, all right then.
So that would have been interesting.
It would have.
And strangely enough, they needed six jurors. They picked five men and one woman.
Whatever happened to 12?
I guess it depends on what.
Are there budget cuts? You can look. We're down to three jurors and a pony.
Oh, speaking of that, the court called me today. And the woman's lawyer for the third time still isn't ready to progress for trial. So it got moved again to October 4th. But the good news, she's already changed it three times. So the good news is she can only change it six.
This is the woman who destroyed your car?
Yes.
We know she's
already,
guilty of it.
Exactly. So they say that a lot of times people will just...
they delay and delay.
Yeah, they delay and delay and they expect the victim to just drop the charges because you get tired of waiting.
No.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Oh, come on. Like, you have to tell me that.
No, I'm just saying. She'll probably have overdosed by then.
Oh,
not you.
Zaleski is a reporter on KGW.
Okay. All right.
Just to clarify.
We're not taking a break. We're going to do a little news. You hang tight. We'll do Rockstar in just a couple minutes.
Oh, I'm here for you, baby.
All right, cool. There you go. Thank you. It's Kristen from accounting. Ladies and gentlemen, pay heed to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, 2 weeks ago, one of Cindy Kino's regular customers left her a $100 tip on a tab that wasn't even half that. This week, he added a couple of zeros. Kino is a bartender at Applebee's in Hutchinson, Kansas. She got a $10,000 tip from the man on a $26 meal. I couldn't move. I didn't know what to say. This will buy you something nice, huh? He said. I answered, yes, it will.
Oh, by the way, Dave Zaleski is apparently a weatherman.
Oh.
He's the morning weather guy. So there you go. So he's kind of a reporter, sort of.
Time for a double snuff watch.
Here's your double snuff watch for whatever the hell day this is. Thursday, right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
Roles from westerns to romances, actor Glenn Ford portrayed strong, thoughtful protagonists. Not anymore, he's dead. He's 90 years old. Best known for starring in The Black Ford Jungle. Some of the other movies he was in?
Yeah.
Superman, Gilda, The Sheep Man, The Gazaboo, Pocketful of Miracles, and whatnot.
The Gazaboo.
He also appeared in five films in 1940, including Blondie Plays Cupid and Baby for Sale.
No one has seen any of these films.
Now you can.
Okay.
I'm sure the gift box will be out by this afternoon.
An American legend.
He also played against Betty Davis in the Stolen Life in a series of strokes. Like Dick Clark. Screenwriter Joseph Stefano, who penned Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. And co-created the television series The Outer Limits, also dead. He's 84. The cause of death not immediately disclosed.
Being alive for 84 years.
He began writing scripts for 20th Century Fox in 1960, and he moved to Hollywood. Hitchcock soon had him adopt a Robert Bloch pulp novel for the screen, which eventually became Psycho. The film earned 4 Oscar nominations, including Best Director for Hitchcock. The supporting actress were Janet Leigh. He also wrote for such television series as Star Trek The Next Generation and The Swamp Thing. He also penned the teleplay for the television movie Psycho 4 at the beginning of 1990.
Oh, that's just sad. There's a whole lot of people out there who did Psycho and had their careers ruined by it. And not just Anthony Perkins. Janet Leigh falls into that category as well. All right, there you go.
There's your double time watch.
Vanilla Ice is still sizzling on the college circuit anyway. The once famous hip-hop artist of the early 1990s will take the stage of the Phi Kappa Tau House on September 9th, following the University of Southern Mississippi's first home football game of the season.
He's playing a frat house?
Yeah. We're looking forward to something bigger and popular than the bands that we usually go to see, said the frat president, in Dylan, whose brother is the booking agent. The show will cost $10,000.
Oh.
We're able to get this kind of event through sponsorship from businesses around town, but I scheduled to play a few of his old school hits and
then some
new stuff.
Yeah. Those are the worst words on earth, too. And play something of my new album, and then you just hear like the sounds of clattering as everybody, thousands of feet, go to the beer garden.
Then he's going back to his rap roots. Tickets are $10 and may be purchased at the fraternity house. Time for a Darwin watch.
Here's your Darwin watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't! I need all my cap!
Don't!
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust. And another one goes, and another one goes. Another one bites the dust, hey!
My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
A priest is dead after trying to demonstrate how Jesus walked on water. Evangelist preacher Frank Calivi, who's 35, told his congregation he could repeat the biblical miracle. But he drowned after walking out to the sea from a beach in the capital in the western African country of Gabon. One eyewitness who says he told church goers he had a revelation that if he had enough faith, he could walk on water like Jesus. He took his congregation to the beach, saying he could walk across the Como estuary, which takes 20 minutes by boat. He walked into the water, which soon passed over his head, and he never came back.
Oh, zing. I can't know. She's going out on that right there. There's your dark one.
Don't.
Another one spots the dust.
That doesn't get any better than that. That's just a perfect little self-contained ball of journalistic fun right there. Oh, my God. All right. That's fantastic. That may be the best thing I've heard all day.
That's going to win an award at the Darwin Awards this year.
Really? I mean, it's just so perfect and hermetically sealed. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Kristen from accounting.
Oh. Hello.
Yes, hello. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
I was on the speakerphone.
God damn. All right. So let's talk about Rockstar Supernova last night.
Yes, and, shall we?
Well, I was all kinds of stressed out because Sarah revealed yesterday, and I told her, I'm like, give me the bottom three. And she said, the bottom three, you know, she's like, Ryan, Storm, Delana. And so it's like, expected, oh, bad news, oh, good news, you know. And so I went home, but she did not tell me what anybody performed or who went home or who got kicked off. I didn't want to know.
Yeah, I totally did the Jack Osborne thing.
Oh, okay. I was looking for a comeback there involving Vicodin.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was cool, though, because Delana was finally in the bottom three.
Totally. It was so good.
And deservedly so.
It really is. It's kind of unnerving, actually, how much joy we're all taking from the suffering of Delana.
Such gleeful, Yeah.
No, it really...
Well, that song that she picked last night, too, my God.
Oh, that Talking Head song. No.
She was so killer. Freaky.
No, it was, and that's a terrible song anyway, but it just, and she got the words wrong, by the way. She kept, even I know that, she kept screwing up the lyrics.
Yeah, well, because I looked at, you know, this morning on Rockstar, on the website, you know, they have the, like, interviews with the people who were in the bottom three.
Mm-hmm.
So she was talking about how she knew she screwed up.
Right.
But she said, you know, I got lost. Because even, was it Gilby? One of them said that.
Yeah.
You looked a little lost up there. And she said, yeah. She said, I got up there and I got, you know, a little distracted.
Let's listen to a little, shall we?
Oh, yes, let's.
Yeah, I love listening to Delana. This is Delana singing A Psycho Killer, which she dedicated to herself.
Lucas and Delana, neither one of you have ever been...
Hold on. What happened?
I screwed up. I told... Psycho Killer... Jessica Bell.
I'm Tina Turner.
Better run, 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 run away. Oh, ay, 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 ay.
It actually hurts. Was she saying her name again there just now?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Where?
I don't know. It sounded like she was screaming Delana. Somebody told me that she sang her own name again in this song somewhere last night.
No, she was just saying fa, fa, fa.
I see spaghetti.
I see spaghetti? Okay, and
that's so bad.
I think we're done. Listen, right here, this from Chris. Did you notice that Delana sang her name again during the song?
Where?
I didn't hear it, but I
noticed that.
Look, it's like digging through crap to find a room.
Yeah, I
don't care. I don't care enough. Yeah.
That was just whole world of bad last night.
Awful. And then, but they called her on it. I mean, Tommy Lee didn't compliment her. He just said, well, I hope we learned from our mistakes, Delana.
Yeah.
Even Gilby, you're right, said you seemed a little lost. And then Jason Newsted, I think, said nothing. Oh, no, I guess he didn't say anything.
No, it was painful. And they went to his face as she was performing, and he just had that, you know, that shaking the head kind of...
That I've eaten something metallic tasting.
There's something wrong here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I'll let you kind of steer this, Kirsten, because you've been doing the stenography duties in this for so long. Where do you want to go here?
Well, as long as we're talking about Delana, we may as well talk about the other bad performance, which was Ryan.
Oh, the Bob O'Reilly, which Scotty, by the way, has labeled Barbara O'Reilly. O'Reilly, like, and it's, he's written it like it's Irish, like O apostrophe R-I-L-E-Y.
love him.
Barbara O'Reilly. All right, let's see.
Terrible. Well, bad song choice.
I'm here to just blow your minds right now.
Yeah. Well, wrong choice for this guy, because he just doesn't have the projection to do it.
No, and why did he think it was necessary to look like an 80-year-old person scrambling up onto the amps, you know?
His thing of jumping up onto the amps was exactly the same kind of wrong as his thing of jumping on the piano the other night. It was tentative.
Yeah, he didn't...
You can't climb carefully.
He didn't jump up there and do it. He kind of, like, crawled carefully up as if he was afraid it was going to fall over.
Like he was afraid his hip was going
to
go up from underneath.
And then did you see poor Sasha had to duck underneath the mic cord because he got kind of tangled up in there.
Is Sasha your boyfriend?
No, Sasha is the bass player.
Okay. You're sure about
it? Jim would be my future boyfriend.
Okay. Let's, he's not a bad singer, but this is not what he should be singing. He should be singing stuff that are like sort of Coldplay type stuff.
Yeah, he was pushing it too hard. And then he, on the on the confessional type things after he was booted up, he was bitter.
Yeah.
He was not. He was like, yeah, well, I'm going to see Supernova, and I'll be looking down on them on the chart.
He said later at the end when he was getting kicked off, he's like, well, I would have moved a lot of records for you guys.
Yeah,
oh, well.
We could have had a 20-year career.
Totally.
Well, you know.
Let's get a couple. Let's see here. Pam, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's
Rick.
Up there? Hey, Pam.
You know, they should call this Rockstar Supernova, the remake of The Wizard of Oz, because Delana is looking a lot like the Wicked Witch. Storm is looking like Dorothy in terms of the girl next door to Heart of Gold. And what was it about her picking up Delana at the end? I mean, that was sheer drama.
She's been doing a lot of, like, hugging, and she's... Storm, I don't know if it's like a keep-your-enemies-closer thing, but she's... It's like the worse Delana is as a human being, the nicer Storm is to her.
It kind of reminds me of Easter pageantry with Judas and Jesus on the same stage.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
I know, it's really wild. But anyway, the other thing is I predict that Storm will be in the last pairing. Because if they pick two people, it'll probably be Storm and Lucas. If they pick one person, it might just be Storm or Lucas.
I think it's going to be, it's going to be one person that they pick. I've come away from thinking it's going to be two.
Well, they're definitely not going to pick Delana because she's crazy.
Well, would you want to be on the road with that woman?
Not unless she had a lot of lithium and Prozac and some Valium.
Excellent. All right, there you go. Thank you, Pam.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, there you go. I can't imagine being on a tour bus with that woman.
Well, that's the thing, you know, people who are, and I know everybody's going back to the whole, well, rock stars, man, they trash hotel rooms and stuff, but the way we saw Delana reacting, you just don't want to be around that long periods of time.
Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, and especially against you because she's not a good enough singer to sort of compensate for it, you know?
No, she's really not. Sorry. No, but then I was going to say, but then there was Storm, who had an absolutely almost flawless performance, other than her voice being a little under the weather.
Well, we'll do that in a second. Let's quickly, Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, how you doing today?
Hey.
You know, as much as I love Storm and seen her perform several times in Portland, I just don't feel that she's the right mix for this band. And the reason I say that is because who writes these songs for Supernova? I've heard, you know, what, three or four songs from them now, and none of them grab me.
The songs are all very generic.
They're like a watered version of Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, they're
very watered down. And
I can hear that.
That is exactly when my friends and I were watching it. That is what we thought they sounded like too.
I looked up online at these, you know, for writing credits on albums that the, you know, with Metallica and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, none of them were the writers.
None of them were the writers.
Yeah, it's not Jason Newsted, I think, has one writing credit in his entire career with Metallica.
Yeah, he's got a couple, but yeah. I mean, Tommy and Gilby, they have nothing.
Yeah, you're gonna let Gilby Clark steer a band.
Well, that's why it'll be interesting to see Gilby's songwriters clinic that they're supposed to do.
Oh God, really? Are you serious?
Yeah, last night they were talking about the five remaining vocalists will have a songwriting clinic with Gilby Clark the day after.
Hurrah!
For today, I guess.
Look, it's like having me run a fashion clinic for somebody. All right, that's Ken. Thank you, Ken. All right, well, you mentioned Storm, and I said this last night. Not her best performance vocally, but she sold it. And I know that sounds like a lot, like she crushed it. But, I mean, she conveyed the energy, and she really made you feel the song, even if she wasn't really singing it all that well.
And unlike some of the other rockers, and maybe it's because, again, maybe it's because we know Storm and we've seen her perform so many times, but I did get the feeling she's genuinely, like, she went into the crowd and she's genuinely enthusiastic. She's not putting on a front.
Well, the thing of really singing Helter Skelter, now... We were talking about this last night. We couldn't figure it out. In your elimination song, can you sing anything? In other words, could it have been an original? Or is your elimination song, do you think... Because somebody's already... Helter Skelter's already been sung.
Sang an original, didn't... Or somebody sang an original, I thought.
Not last night.
Not last night. I mean, a few weeks ago, though.
Oh, like when Patrice Pike, when she did?
But that wasn't her elimination song, was it?
I thought there was one elimination song. If they clear it through the house band, because the house band has a list of songs that the rockers can choose from for elimination songs.
It was curious to me that for her elimination song, Storm picked something that had already been performed. But anyway, but it was good, though. It was good. Well, let's listen to a little bit. This is Storm singing Helter Skelter last night on the Rockstar Supernova.
Champagne, Ryan Starr. You ready, boys?
this is, and you know, and the thing is, unless you're Paul McCartney, it's really hard to do that song,
well, and
you know, the way it's supposed to be done.
Even with her voice not in tip-top shape, she still sounds worlds better than Delana did.
Right, exactly. Okay. And I would rather hear somebody who is ragged but really is selling it than, and it's like, and I have to say this again, it's just, Delana is just made up of a bunch of affectations.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even just listening to Storm without watching the video, you're like, well, you know, she's as for, you know, for lack of a better term, she is crushing it.
Yeah, and you know, and she's, and again, her voice is not in top shape, as I said, and as I think what Davey told us, that she had a cold, a head cold, so whatever, you know. But I mean, but she delivered the song, and just, you know.
And you listen to Delana without watching her, and it's just.
Ugh.
I mean, just terrible.
It's like having weasels put down my pants.
It was funny because, you know, I did go to see Def Leppard last night, by the way.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was actually an excellent, excellent show.
Was it?
For a bunch of old guys, they were doing pretty well.
Was it not on, like, listening to the record really, really loudly?
Funnily enough, I took my earplugs just in case, because we were in the 11th row, mind you.
Did you need them?
But we didn't need them. It wasn't outrageously loud, but they did perform pretty close to the original final choices.
Or that, depending on how
you... And actually, Journey, and we know that I'm not a Journey fan.
Yes.
And that was even pretty good.
Well, you know, those guys, for, you know, what everyone wants to say about it, they put on a slick program.
Neil Schon is still a fantastic guitar player.
No, those guys are all very talented players.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. But anyway, so one of the guys that I went to the show with last night is like this huge Delana fan, and he was saying the same thing that other guy was just saying, that he doesn't see Storm as the lead, as the front person.
I just don't think that she's, and I think, I don't know that she would be happy. Well, not that I know, you know, what's in Storm's heart, but I mean, you got to wonder if she would be happy with these guys who clearly are just such a weird mishmash of musical styles. And the only song of Supernovas I even kind of liked was the first one, but the others have been so generic and so bland. It's like it really is sort of like winning the booby prize, really.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways.
Which is why it would be great for her to go to like the bottom, to the very last show, and just get eliminated as, you know, second or third.
Magni made some comments last night. He was doing a little bit of back talk last night, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if I've got that. I think this is Magni last night.
Sitting on my ass for 4 hours.
Not always, dude. Sometimes you're on location and you gotta do that
stuff.
Don't
you interrupt me, young man.
Bro, this is my...
Yeah.
Hold up, bro.
Sorry, I just had to do that.
This is my show, sucker.
I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty... You can tell that those guys either think they're going to win, and so they're cocky. They think they're not going to win, and so they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Or they're just so burned and sick of the whole thing that they just don't give a rip, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
Let's see. And this is, I think we have Ryan. We have Ryan getting the. I think we have Ryan getting the boot here. Hold on. Let me
Tommy
see.
Tommy Hatchet, whatever they call him.
Let's see.
Oh, Tommy Hawk.
Tommy Hawk.
Yeah. All right. This is Ryan.
All right. Let's see. Ryan, what an adventure so far. You've come so far. The Ryan standing in front of us is certainly not the Ryan that started this competition. You were great tonight. That was one of the best audience receptions we've seen. But are you right for us? Storm, it's the first time in the bottom three. I know that's a real change for you. You've given some great performances. You've been so solid over the past few weeks. But we really haven't seen a lot of growth.
Shut the hell up.
Delana.
God.
That one really came out of left field for us. You seemed a little lost in the middle of the song there. But, you know, once again, you've earned so much credit with us. But let's see if
by doing the best performances we've
get
ever seen.
The next 5 minutes. All right, guys, it's time for the Tommy Hawk.
Hello, everybody. My favorite part of the show. Well, it's down to the three of you. And I just want to tell you guys are all really great. I mean, everybody tonight was awesome.
We're all winners.
But in the end, it's all about what's best for us here. And Ryan, after 9 weeks, dude, you're probably the only cat who's come the farthest. Like, you know
what?
I'm sorry to say this. Unfortunately, Ryan, you're the next to go.
Now, here's what's interesting about that right now. The reason I played that whole thing is because you'll note that this is the first week that when they go to actually do, when Tommy Lee does the elimination, he didn't mention either of the other two.
Yeah, he didn't say you're safe to any of them.
Yeah.
Because
they do the thing where they all have their say, and then Tommy Lee does the thing where he singles them out one by one until he gets down to whoever's going to get the boot, and he gives them compliments as they go along. This is the first week he has not done that. And so you've got to wonder, did he not say anything? Was he told not to say anything? Did he say something about Storm and Delana and it got cut out? So,
and now, there's always that thought in the back of your head now is, you know, how much of it was scripted?
Right, totally.
You're wondering how much of it is actually what they're thinking as an actual band.
And it's like, yeah, and you don't want to be just some conspiracy freak and get all cynical and all weird about it. But, I mean, when Pam Early was saying it's like the Wizard of Oz, it really is. You can really feel, like, the gears clanking on the show, I think, at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
It'll be interesting. I mean, it could, down to the very last second, it could still be anybody's game. They're keeping it interesting. I'll give them that.
Maybe. Well, you know, my whole thing is, again, I just, unless I'm counting wrong or unless they do some double elimination next week, which I guess they could, my whole thing is if she can make it through one more week, then that's great for me because I want to be able to go and see her sing and see her perform.
Right.
So as long as she doesn't get the boot next week, I think that Toby's going to be the next to go.
Because he just seems like a really great karaoke singer.
And nice guy, good singer.
I think it seems like
bland.
They really like Toby a lot, though. I think they'd probably get rid of Magni before they do Toby.
It's possible.
I was watching last night with a couple of people, and actually I think it was Stephanie from Cleveland made the comment that he seems, the band really seems to like Toby because he seems like he might be drawing in that younger audience.
That's true.
Frat boy kind of, you know.
I think that the guys will already be attracted to Supernova on some level because it's Guns N' Roses, Metallica, whatever. But I think they'll want to keep a chick there as long as possible to bring in, you know, guys, I guess. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? I just don't know. All right, Sarah's yelling at me, so we got a break. So we will talk further about this on Monday as we head up to the next time that the Storm could get the boot. So.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, and the pressure is killing me. I don't know how much longer I can get those tables and maintain order while I'm holding tables for everybody.
Well, you were doing an admirable job. The alcohol helps.
I was beating people away from the table.
All right. Kristen from accounting. We'll talk to you soon, sister.
Thank you.
There you go. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, did you not notice that Bob Costantini from CNN was in a studio with other people around? This totally explains his woodenness, quit making everything so personal. He wasn't on a phone, which he normally is. There were people looking over his shoulder. That would totally explain it, wouldn't it? It's also clear to me now. Rick, my 2-year-old daughter dances around and sings when we watch Rockstar Supernova, but when Delana comes on, she screams no, no in terror, and I have to turn it off. She's scaring young children. Love the show. Dave Navarro has said on his blog, contestants are allowed to do an original song in the Elimination Show. He doesn't know why no one has. Someone asked Storm in an interview if she would do an original in an Elimination Show, and she said she was unaware that she was allowed to do so. There you go. Let's see. Storm is the only American. Keep American jobs in America. Vote Storm. I'm telling you, man, that's a great idea. What do we have here? Well, we should do this. Let me find my little soundbite here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Let me ask you this. Does your company know that you're introduced by a sounder that has a mailman presumably killing people with an automatic weapon?
No, but interestingly enough, I found out on Tuesday night, Davey's dad.
Yes.
Davey Nipples.
Yes. Davey Nipples' father, the senior Nipples.
Yeah, Davey Senior.
Yes. Nipples
actually
the first.
was the branch president for my union and a retired letter carrier.
That's pretty great.
So.
You guys are like a weird. I was out with Justin one time. He was Sarah's ex-boyfriend, Justin, who was a letter carrier. And so we were at a poker game or something, I think. And Justin is, what, he's 20-something? Late 20s now?
No, he's like 27.
And we were at some poker game. It's like Justin is 27, And like an older guy, who was like 52, and sort of a grizzled one of those, yeah, I've been around and seen some things. And it was weird because they found out that they were each letter carriers, and they had like an immediate bond. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole lot sort of, so, were you around when Mr. Lewansky was working? You know, and it was a whole lot of weird, like they just were talking about, it was, they had like an instant, sort of an instant connection. It was the coolest thing. I could not participate, but it was cool.
And I have to answer your question the other day. It's an hourly job.
Ah.
Not salary.
All right. Oh. So it is. So really, it's to your benefit to talk on the air as long as possible and take as many hours as possible to deliver the mail.
No, I do this on my lunch break and my afternoon break.
I'm sure.
Yes,
I understand.
He does, Rick.
I'm just saying you're confirming what many taxpayers actually already suspect. It's okay. Don't worry about it. All right. Where are we at, brother?
You got the clergy watch, the Darwin watch, Jim Roop, and the Rockstar recap. Unfortunately, again, you did not hit the religious nutcase.
All right, but there's no news left on the table, is my point.
Do you know what story you're talking about when you say religious
nutcase? No. Maybe I hallucinated the religious. Maybe there is no religion. Maybe the religious nutcase watch is like the Kaiser Soze of news
stories.
Wasn't
the religious nutcase watch the priest raping the girl with the lesbian demon and
no,
whatever?
No, that was a clergy watch.
Oh, okay.
Didn't we play the clergy watch open and close?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Right.
Lesbian demon inside of her.
Philip Ann.
Thank you, sir. All right, so...
That seems pretty religious nutcase.
It really is. I think that ought to count. You heard Sarah making the case there.
Well, just stop putting it on the list then, Rick.
I'm going to scratch it off, friend.
So we're taking three off then?
Yes, we are, sir. I'm down to 41.
That puts you at 41.
Bam! That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Be careful. A pimping storm is the only American because Delana is South African... by way of Houston.
Oh, please. That's not being a real American.
Well, you know, but Texans will fight for that one, though.
I don't know. I'm not afraid of Texans. They're way down there. All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Trying to repair a failing school system down there. All right. Let's see. Do I have... I don't have time to get to these. Is this Candace? Candice? I don't have time, unfortunately. Candace? Candace with the less conventional K-A-N-D-I-S spelling. Candace. Candace, I'm sorry. I apologize. No time to be fair to another caller today. If you call tomorrow, we'll get you first up. So, my apologies there. All right, we want to thank the brilliant, if somewhat terrified, Bob Costantini today. Also, Jim Roop, Gary Baumgarten, and Kristen from Accounting. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Now I got to get Bob on tomorrow and tell him that I'm sorry for putting him on the spot. Tim Riley in the newsroom, Scotty J, more than an intern, and of course, manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. We'll see y'all tomorrow with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Don't go anywhere. Like us up in about 30 seconds. As always, don't let the bastards grin it on. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye. Ha 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 ha